Good to be with you. Greetings from Germantown, Maryland. Germantown in the house. I don't know if Pastor Don was being prophetic, but I think the name is pretty much etched. So it's Restoration Church. God willing, we're meeting in Gaithersburg too, and we're glad to partner with you however God leads in that. So this past week I was in Memphis. You ever been to Memphis?
Yes.
What a city. Gus's, brother. Had it twice in 3 days. Oh, yeah. Two locations. I was at both of those. Our sending church is a district church. And shout out to Pastor Matthew. He lived there. And he said, brother, there's two places you got to go. And one of them is Gus's. And then, now there's some controversy about the second place, but he said, Central Barbecue, you got to go there. So we went there, but we also went to Rendezvous. And that was pretty good too, but had as much fried chicken and barbecue as I could handle. I was down there for a conference called Kainos, which I'm sure Pastor Don knows. The Greek meaning for that word means new. And it was a conference on multi-ethnic ministry. And in 3 days, there was one white preacher. He was all right. There was one Korean-American pastor. He was really good, actually, really brilliant guy. And the rest was a combination of African-American women, two women, which were phenomenal. Actually, one of them was my personal favorite. And some of the most gospel-centered, godly, brilliant African-American leaders currently leading. A guy by the name of Brian Laritz leads that movement. He's now pastoring in New York. He was the lead pastor at Fellowship Memphis. Just a fabulous, they're kind of the host church, multi-ethnic church. And his father, Dr. Crawford Laritz, pastor now down in Atlanta area. Some friends at part of that movement, and some brilliant pastors. One of my favorites, Pastor Derwin Gray, pastors Transformation Church, and I got to hang out with them for 3 days, and Pastor Derwin is leading an amazing church down in the Charlotte area, a multi-ethnic church, and I say all that because it's fitting that I'm here with you this morning. I feel very much at home in this context, if you know what I'm saying. I always like to come back here for a number of reasons, and just want to thank God for His grace. I got into a lot of trouble in this cafeteria, so there's a part of me that is a Wolverine at heart. I played out on the football field, and praise the Lord, I made it out. But I moved in the middle of 10th grade down to Atlanta. And so I graduated as a yellow jacket down in Georgia, got in some trouble down there too. But I just praise the Lord that it's kind of prophetic, you know, that I end up coming back. But I say all that God wants to do something new. And I'm not here to tell you anything about the way you do things, but I do want to say that God is doing something new in this county, in this city, in this area, probably in your neighborhood. I noticed that your current goal, this will get you up in the morning right here, evangelize our hood and grow VCC members. Do you know what your hood looks like? A couple weeks ago, an article came out. Now, I know we're in Montgomery Village, but Germantown's not too far. Germantown, Maryland, y'all, is the number one most ethnically diverse city in America. For real. And this area, if you go from Rockville, Gaithersburg to Germantown, this is one of the most diverse places on the planet. Unbelievable. So, didn't ask Don if I could say this, but God is doing something new, y'all. He's doing something new. And I'm real excited to be a part of that. I'm excited to be here with you and appreciate the opportunity. I'm real excited that if you'll let me back in the door, I get to come back a couple times in the next couple months. Love to get to know you. I told Pastor Don, this just feels like family. And that's what the church should feel like, right? So early on in my Christian life, I heard people talking about going out soul winning. Maybe you heard that phrase and please don't hear me. Okay, do something new. This is a new time. It's a new day, right? So then I went to a Bible college where they emphasized going out witnessing and doing evangelism. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people are just hardwired to be cold turkey evangelists, and maybe you know some of them. They're all people like that are a little weird. But I love them. I have some good friends. 5 weeks in my college experience, my wife and I met in a college in upstate New York, and at that school, we would go down to New York City and preach on the street, and it was incredible. And I did it because that wasn't where I came from, and I needed to, you know, get out of my comfort zone, and I learned how to engage total strangers on the street of New York City. Then when my wife and I moved here, we worked with our youth group. We invited some of those guys that taught us, hey, come down. And so we went down to D.C. We went down to downtown Silver Spring, which is where our church was back then, just engaging people on the street with the gospel. And God was doing some amazing things. But I want to introduce you to a new word. It's the Jesus juke. And so this is kind of this is that cold turkey evangelist person. And then some of y'all might be this. Don't hear me criticizing y'all. But let me tell you what a Jesus juke is. It's when you're watching the game, right? So let's say tonight, like our family probably will be watching the Wizards, right? They got some Wizards fans in here. Ain't got no Wizards fans in here? Oh, come on now, y'all. Come on now. All right, well, whatever team you're rooting for, just put it in the illustration, right? You're watching the game, and let's say there's a foul, right? Let's say you're watching the game, you're into the game, whatever game, team, all right? You're trying to offend nobody, and a Jesus juke is when they call a foul in the game, and you stand up and you say, that foul's like your sin, brother. What are you doing with that foul in your life? Man, I'm just trying to watch the game. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's when someone says, you know, it's a hot day and it hadn't been hot. It's hot. And that person next to you says, and it's hot in hell. And, you know, are you ready? So you know what I'm saying, right? The Jesus juke is the person who's always bringing Jesus into places that maybe, you know, I'm not sure if that's the appropriate way. I'm not hating on that or anything. God can use, and he is willing to use anyone, right, with any personality, even those who are good at Jesus juking. And I know some folks like that. But I'd like to propose a better way. So, you know, more often than not, when it's emphasized in my life to go and do evangelism, you know, even that word, not sure, do I like that word or not, right? I've struggled, man, when someone talk about going out and doing I don't know how you feel if I said, hey, y'all, we need to go evangelize this neighborhood. I'm not sure how that makes you feel. There are a million things I'd rather do, right, than go out and talk to strangers about something that most of them just don't want to talk about. I imagine some of you felt that way too. For one reason or another, you just don't tell people about Jesus like that, right? Or at least regularly. Maybe it's been a minute since you brought somebody new to a worship service like this. And I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to lift you up. But maybe it's been a few minutes since, few days, few months. Maybe it's been a while, right? But take heart. I want you to be encouraged this morning. There's a few things that I've been learning in my journey in these past few years about how to share the power of Jesus' resurrection. That's what Pastor Don asked me to come and talk about. There's no magic formula. Ain't no three easy steps to reaching your neighbor for Jesus. But I think a change in our posture and a charge to our power. Hello, I think somebody was talking about that last week. Something about recharging your power. Is that right? Did you talk about that last week? All right, so I think there's a kind of, I didn't know that. But that's a real good connection. That will go a long way. Changing our posture, charging our power will go a long way to making a greater impact. We want to make an impact, right? If you have Jesus and he has you, you are hardwired for that. You may not be hardwired to go knocking on your neighbor's door and say, hey, it's hot out here. Kind of reminds me of hell. Are you going, you know, Do you know where you're going to die? You know, or whatever. I'm not saying anyone's doing that. But I think there's a better way to reach our community, especially our neighbors who don't look like you. I don't know what your neighborhood looks like, but my very next door neighbor is from Vietnam. And then a house down from that, folks are from the Middle East. And then folks, I think there's one other white family. I don't talk to them a whole lot. But I know, I'm just kidding. I like white people too. But then the next family down's like from Ecuador or Peru. And then our son's best friends, the folks on the end unit down there, not on the end, but whatever, they're from Washington, D.C., African-American family. They're our best friends. I mean, that's what my neighborhood looks like. And there's a whole bunch of Indian folks and folks from all over. These are the people that God is calling us. We need to change our posture and charge our power. So in John 20, I'm going to look at three passages with you this morning. In John chapter 20, verses 20 at 21 and 20, we're going to look at that in just a minute. Let's go back to the earliest message from Jesus on this subject. As far as we can tell, chronologically, this is the first great commission to his disciples. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Verse 21, this is the first, you know, Jesus has been raised from the dead, right? We're talking about post-Easter. Just not too long ago, right? What do we do now? What do we do now? John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Man, thank you, brother, for that testimony about your eye twitching. Amen. If Jesus did anything, he came to bring us peace. And that word peace, it means wholeness. And when one of the important pieces of the vision that we have for Restoration Church is we recognize that people are fast-paced in this county. Have you noticed that? I mean, it is a whirlwind. And so how are we going to structure church so that we can bring peace into that? Boy, that's a huge challenge. So Jesus, this is so key. Peace be with you as the Father, just like the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is key right here. Jesus apparently gave this commission, this great commission, at least four times, right? We're familiar with Matthew, Jesus raised from the dead. I have all power and authority has been given to me. And then, you know, go make disciples, baptizing. Make disciples of who? Where? What did he say? Of all people groups, right? So we say nations, that's not like USA, Canada, you know, Mexico. But people group, ethnic groups. That's why our vision is multi-ethnic, because God wants us to reach all ethnicities, all people, right? So apparently this is the first of Jesus' Great Commission passages. Here we have Jesus sending the disciples on the same mission that his Father sent him. And just as those disciples were sent in the way of Jesus, we are sent in the way of Jesus. This is about Jesus, y'all. This isn't about me or you or our preferences. It's about Jesus. He's doing something new. So note that we are sent by the Father. I'm not sending you. You're not responding this morning to what Pastor Ed is doing. And even Pastor Don. You're not sent by Pastor Don. You're not sent by this church. In some way, sort of, you are. I believe in that. It's not some made-up idea that sends you. Our Father in heaven, the creator of this universe, in the same way that he sent Jesus, he's sending you and me. Amen. Also know that Jesus connects being sent with the power to be sent. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, the resurrection power. God's not sending you in your community, in your school, in your workplace, all by yourself. Trust in yourself. Do it, you know. No. And just like those disciples needed it, so we needed it. So let's look at step two. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. In my Bible, it's the next page. How convenient. Let's move to when this power that Jesus breathed on the disciples, this was a special kind of thing. I don't think y'all are doing that in here. I hope not. If you do, give me a call. I'll have to check. Pastor Don and I, we went to the same school. I think we learned that at CBS. So that was a special kind of Holy Spirit receiving. Jesus was doing something new there. The church was just being established. And here's part two of the story in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, familiar passage. But you, the disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my what? Witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. Note here that the Holy Spirit is promised to come to give the disciples what? Power. Power for what? Not power to go out witnessing. This is very important. This is subtle, but it's a massive shift. Jesus says, you will receive power for what? What's the verb? What's the action? To be. To be what? To be my witness. I'm going to give you power so that you can be my witnesses. Oh, that's a little different right there. So what is a witness? Hopefully, y'all haven't experienced this in the court of law on the wrong side, but maybe you have. Ain't judging nobody. Because I ain't on one judge on me, right? Oh, yeah. Someone who sees or knows something that has taken place is a witness. Someone sees something that happens or taken place. Often we think of this in the context of crime, right? You're a witness to a crime or an accident, and then you can testify or share verbally about what has happened. Yes, this car ran into this car, you know, or yes, I saw that person, you know, stealing that candy bar, whatever. So this sounds kind of like what Jesus was talking about, right? What kind of witnesses are we? Christians are witnesses of a person. This isn't about telling your neighbor some information about someone.
That's right.
This is about the person of Jesus, being witnesses of the person of Jesus. We are witnesses of him, not information about Jesus. The disciples didn't go around talking about things. No. They were testifying to what they heard and saw with their own eyes, what they witnessed. This is who Jesus is. This is what he has done. When asked who did it, the blind man said, "All I know is that I was blind, and now I see. A man touched my eyes, and I was healed." That's all I know. That's my story. What was he doing in that moment? He was being a witness, right?
Yes.
To share the power of Jesus' resurrection, we have to first be touched by the living Jesus. And that's my prayer for you, even in this moment, that Jesus would, that you would encounter Jesus. As Pastor Don shared with me the other day in a text, we need to be arrested by King Jesus. Arrested by King Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have been arrested, but I have. I remember one time, now no glory in this, y'all. I'm just telling y'all that this is just an illustration right here. I didn't meet Jesus till I was 20. So I was 19 years old. I was up in an apartment getting my thing on, thought I was getting my thing on, a whole bunch of folks up in there, all kinds of illegal stuff going on. Not very carefully. And so, you know, cops roll up in there and they got to drag like 20 of us out of there. So what do? Well, they had to call in some backup, whatever, and they chain us together. You know, it was like the chain gang. You know, they didn't even have enough handcuffs. It was just like these chain things, you know, and they just connected us all together. Didn't have no say in the matter. I was going wherever they was going to take me. This is what Jesus is longing for in our lives. Not unwilling, though.
Yeah.
Not unwilling, because here's the way Jesus arrests us. He does this. And we got to open the door. He's knocking. Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens, y'all. Here's where some of y'all might be, and me too. We've opened the door. We said, yes, Jesus, come on into my life. I put my trust in you. I want to be with you forever. And then we leave him right there. You know, we let him in. He's right in the breezeway. I don't know what kind of house you have. We have a townhouse. You walk in the basement, and it's like this little mudroom kind of area. And it's you don't want to hang out there. No intimate conversations are having there. You're trying to get your shoes off and upstairs as quick as possible. Now, Laura does the best job she can, and we all try to help out to sweep it up. But three boys and half the neighborhood running in and out of here, it's not the nice-looking room. We're trying to get out of there, hang out in the kitchen. We can have some good conversations in the kitchen. So we leave Jesus right there at the breezeway. Yeah, come on in, Lord. But don't go in that room over there. Don't go in that room over here. Come over here, Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'll let you right in this, you know. Don't go in that room where my neighbors are. I don't want to let you in that room. So we're going to talk about that, right? So here's a few things to consider. Being a Christian is primarily being a witness. It's primarily being a witness to what we have what? Heard about Jesus, primarily in God's word, right? We hear about Jesus, and what we have seen him do in our lives. What the faithfulness of Jesus in and through our lives. When we trust him and follow him, he's 100%. I got it. Man, I got a message this morning. I pray for some pastors. I pray for your church. And I pray for our supporting churches. That's just some of my friends that are pastors. And I mentioned Pastor Derwin Gray. What a godly man. He's just really encouraged me. And I pray for him every Sunday. I pray for the ministry of Transformation Church. Big, big church now. And he wrote me back this morning. And thumbs up. And then he put 100. And he's an ex-NFL player and just an amazing, just a godly man. It's about being a witness 100 all the time, 24/7. That's who we are. That's who we are. And you don't think people aren't watching? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The power to be a witness is not dependent on what you eat for breakfast. It is not dependent on what you look like, how you feel. It is in the power given in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Being a witness is not primarily something we do. It's just that it's being a witness. If we do witnessing without the power, it's just another thing. It's just another religious thing we do. And y'all, we all know how profitable that is in our life, right? Come to church, go to Sunday school, pray, read my Bible. We've all done those things without the power. Yeah. We've been tapped out, yeah, and we just check it off, but it made absolutely no difference in our lives. Amen. This is the core of what we need to come back to. It's just this is not complicated. This is beginning to learn how do we live in this resurrection power, and in the context that we're talking about today, as witnesses. As witnesses. But on the other hand, if we seek the power of the Spirit without being a witness, we miss the purpose of the power. We could go on and on either of those spectrums, but I want to hone us in now to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to park here for a few minutes, and I want to give you a doggy bag to take with you when you leave here today, all right? Y'all all right with that? Because you just hear some words, you know, it ain't going to make no difference. All right, so last passage we're going to look at, Ephesians chapter 3. Notice the prayer for power. Pastor Don read it. I want to read it again. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Oh, yeah. Not just some information, not some words, some power. So for what? Through, strengthen you with power through his Spirit where? Where is that? That ain't where breakfast goes. That's like your character. Your character. Where do we need to be strengthened? In our character. Who we are. How I feel about my neighbor. How I feel about my brother, my sister, that person in need. That's where I need the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, those of you who are married, that's what you need in your marriage. I do a lot of weddings. I did a wedding yesterday, and I love to say, I'm doing a wedding today, too. And I say, now look, y'all look stunning. But this ain't going to last. When you make this commitment, you know, next week she going to be waking up and her breath ain't, don't smell like she ain't going to be waking up with a mint in her mouth. I shouldn't say that about the women. I should say that about me, right? I should say that about me. Honey, I know. I roll over, you know. Man, I don't feel fuzzy inside. Every morning when I wake up with my wife. Now it doesn't take long, you know, just look at her. You know, it doesn't take long. All right. That's where we need the power, in our inner being. He goes on, so that what? Now just put this all into context, in our inner being, in our character. And then he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where do we need Christ? In our character, in our being, in our attitude toward one another and others. That's where we need power. This isn't talking about some, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not sure where Pastor Don is these days on all these issues, but I don't think he's talking about some wild manifestations of power that a lot of people like to talk about. Now notice, if you don't agree, notice what he says. Just look right here. I pray that you may be rooted and established in love. That's where I need power in my life. If I'm going to love my wife like Jesus loved the church and laid his life down for, I need some power for that, y'all, because that is not easy. That takes a supernatural power. And I already committed to love this woman. My neighbor who smells different and looks different and does things that are different that I might think in my own natural self are weird and strange and I disagree on. And how about some political differences? And when we look at some of the injustices in our world right now, I mean, go back to Ferguson and on and on and on, right? Good people have lots of different thoughts on this. And so here's my challenge. Enter into people who think differently with the power of the Holy Spirit. Enter into that. Is that what Jesus would do?
Amen.
Oh, I mean, we need to be stirred up in this. When I walked away from this conference, most of the speakers I heard come from a different place than I come from. And for the most part, I really enjoyed this. It was a multi-ethnic conference. There were 600 people. It was a sea. It was mostly black and white. That was my only thing that I was like, ah, man, where I live, you know, when we talk about multi-ethnic, you got to throw in a few other kind of folks, you know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was good. I'm not hating on it. It was awesome. It was awesome. But the one thing I walked away from is, man, I need some different voices. I need some different friends. You know what being a part of a multi-ethnic community does for you? I mean, man, I can sit on the sideline and criticize that dude who's blocking for me all day till I got to get in there. And then I got to block that dude. Now, oh, I'm going to back off a little bit, right? And so when I start, you know, I don't have to agree, but I need to enter in and have a better sense of understanding about how people feel. I might have one position on this issue, something that just happened in the news, some kind of justice issue. This is the way I feel about it. And I might say things, right, ignorantly. But until I listen to this person over here and enter into their experience and maybe some of the injustices that they have experienced in their life, I better shut my mouth. Right? Man, where are we at here? All right, Ephesians 3. Man, where do I need power? Verse 18, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp what? Not some crazy thing, that manifestation. Right. Notice, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, experience this love is what Paul is talking about. You better know it by experience if you're going to be a witness of it, right? You bet that to know this love that surpasses just knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Power for witness, right? Now, let me just point out to you, I purposefully read this a little bit out of context. So y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. A couple of y'all is ready. Now, I already primed the pump for this, right? But let's go back to verse 14. What's verse 14 say? For this reason.
For this reason.
What reason? What's he talking about? Now, what has Paul just been talking about? Well, if you go back to chapter 2, back in chapter 2, verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, and so on. Remember that you were separate, right? He's talking to the Gentiles here, but notice what he says in verse 14. For he, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He destroyed the wall between the people of God, historically, the Jews, and those who were unclean. And he said, that wall of separation is gone. We are one new, the word is, the way I would translate it, is humanity. We are one new person. We are one new entity. And then he goes on and on and on talking about what I would say is the multi-ethnic church. Where is he? He's writing from prison, from this gigantic, super diverse mega city. Kind of like our neighborhood. Consequently, says verse 19, you are no longer aliens, strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation. And basically what he's saying is Jesus. Who did Jesus come for, right? Where did Jesus minister to? He spent most of his time living and ministering in Gentile area. And then he goes on, chapter 3, for this reason, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, I write for the sake of you Gentiles. I mean, this is Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
I mean, he hated when he was a good religious Jew, just wouldn't even touch a Gentile. That would make him unclean. And now this is, Jesus has arrested him.
Yeah.
Oh. Surely, verse 2, you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. That is the mystery made known by revelation. What's the mystery? The wall is torn down, Jew, Gentile in one church.
That's right.
All people. And he goes on and on. Verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel. What gospel? The gospel for all people. The gospel that brings Jews and Gentiles together. I mean, if any people should not have ever come together, it would have been Jews and Gentiles in one church.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we have any Jewish brothers or sisters in here, but you know, we're all in that Gentile camp. And if that is true, right? I mean, you know, I think this is just a picture for us today. I'm not making this up. This is explicitly talking about all people coming together. It says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me. To do what? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. What's the mystery? Jews and Gentiles, man. We all coming together. Man, we could go on and on. And then you see this. I think you see this in every book of the New Testament. You see it in the story of Acts. Power is needed in our character, in our inner being, that place that we need to be touched if we're going to love people who are different than us. We need power to grasp the magnitude of God's love. I mean, if we understand how much God loves us, and then we meditate and think about the magnitude of God's love for our neighbors. I just think about our Vietnamese neighbors who he loves, and I'm trying to figure out how can I be a witness to them? Words isn't going to do it. Because there's a big time language barrier. They need to see the power of God's love.
Amen. Amen.
that he has for them through us. That's the only way it's going to happen. Not only does God want to use you and I to fulfill our mission, but he will open doors on a regular basis to make this happen. And he will make sure that it happens. Because this is why, this is God's whole plan.
That's right.
He is a missionary God. He is on a mission. So the Restoration Church mission statement is this, y'all. Joining God in the restoration of all things. Because we aren't really bringing restoration.
That's right.
God is already doing it. So 20 years ago, 19 years ago actually to be exact, 19 years ago, the last week of April, man, I was down and out as a 19-year-old. And I was up here in Maryland, and I had to go back to Georgia to take care of some stuff. And in the time that I was up here, my dad and my stepmom gave their lives to Jesus. They start going to this gospel preaching church. And I needed some help, y'all. I mean, I recognized that I needed some help. So they said, you can come down and we'll give you some help. And we got a bike for you. For real, man. I rode that bike, that little old, like 20-year-old 10-speed. I worked at a restaurant called Po' Folks. For real. And I was one. And four miles each way, you know, and I'm starting to, you know, whatever. So I'm starting, now I'm going to church for 3 months. And I'm hearing the gospel, and there wasn't really a group of people that were investing in my life, but God was doing something. God was doing something in my life. And here's what I've been thinking about lately. God is doing something in your neighborhood. God is stirring a heart, just like he was stirring in my heart. Some mom is inviting some son back who's a drug addict. Some pregnant teenager is looking for, you know, answers. Someone's abused. You know, someone's just lost. Someone has achieved it all and yet it feels empty. God is working in our neighborhood, y'all. And all we have to do is join him. And he's going to bring tremendous restoration, right? Yes, yes. So I want to just leave you with three practical ways. Pastor Don was like, man, you just go on till you stop, you know, whatever. I was like, Don't say that. Don't say that. So I just want to leave you with three practical ways to be more aware of the doors that God opens and how to walk in and out of those doors. This is just real practical. This is what I've been learning, and I'll end with a couple of stories. So up, in, and out. Say it with me. Up, in, out. This is it right here. Easy to remember. Three principles are guiding my witness these days, and do not hear me. Don't walk away thinking, man, Pastor Ed got it all figured out. Man, he really does this. I mean, I'm trying to be a leader worth following. I'm trying to be a father that's worth my kids following me. All right? For real. But I struggle with this just like you do, I'm sure. So let's help each other out here. Three principles guiding my witness these days. Anyone from the youngest, from elementary school, middle school, high school, mom, dad, grandma, uncle, auntie, friend, anyone. Anyone, anywhere, anytime can do this. Number one, pray up. Say it with me. Pray up. That's kind of obvious. Where are we going to pray? Up, right? We're talking to God. So before you're in a situation with non-Christians, now a lot of times you don't know, right? You don't know who's, it's just, you're just going to be in that, and you're going to start within in that conversation. But there are some people that you know today, you're going to see them today. Or you're going to see them tomorrow. Or they're going to be working or sitting next to you at some point this week. You pray up before you get into that conversation. And you ask God for what? What do you need in your inner man? You need power. So what are you asking for? Power. You think he wants to give it to you? Oh, yes. He knows you need it. He knows I need it. Pray for the power to love. Pray for the power to listen. This is one of my biggest weaknesses. See, I can talk, all right. Listening, on the other hand, see, God sent me an angel who has the gift of listening. Now, God knew, right? So I got to work on asking good questions to Laura, you know, in our conversations, in our life, in our marriage, so that I become a better listener. And that's something I'm trying to practice with all people. So here's what I did when I went down to this conference, and I encourage you to make this a regular practice. It has blessed me Immeasurably. So I was invited by this church to hang out with their staff these 3 days. It was amazing. I was humbled by it. And so what, you know, I don't bring, and I got nothing to teach them. I mean, this, you know, they're booming, man. God is working it. So as I was sitting at meals, I got to eat meals. I just sit down. And I said, tell me your story. Just tell me your story. Then I got to go, my buddy and I, my Japanese-American buddy from this area, we got to go to lunch with the Asian speaker, and he's working on his second doctorate. I mean, he's a brilliant guy, PhD, written a bunch of books. We got to go to lunch with him, and we just figured, we saw him sitting in his seat, and then it was breaking for lunch, and he was like, hey, let's go ask him if he's got lunch plans. Why not, right? Why not? So, hey, Dr. Ra, you want to go to lunch with us? He was like, yeah, sure. So we went to lunch with him. And so, I mean, he's a brilliant guy. People are asking him questions all the time. But I asked him, you know, when I had a chance while we were eating, I said, hey, Dr. Ra, tell me your story. Well, he used to live in Germantown, Maryland. As a matter of fact, he was one of the founders. You know that big Korean church?
Yeah.
Covenant something, right? Right off 270, see it? He started that church. I had no idea. And he starts talking about, you know, his family and Silver Spring and all this. And I'm like, well, dang, I guess this was a divine appointment. And what? Here's what I heard a long time ago. This is what motivated me to do this. You don't know somebody until you heard their story. Can you do that with your neighbor, your coworker? Hey, tell me your story. You know, I mean, in whatever way it works for you, right? Tell me what, you know, how'd you grow up? Where'd you grow up? Tell me about your family. You know, when you say to someone, tell me about... They're chomping at the bit, right? Don't you love that? Right? Hey, tell me about your grandkids. Oh, let me. You got an hour? You know? Tell me about your job. Now, you may not want to talk about that, you know? They find out, you know, you were an athlete or something. Oh, tell me about that. Oh, you want to listen? Just you. Hey, tell me. Tell me about. Pray for the power then to listen. Not to think of answers. Or what you're going to say, but just enter into that and listen. And pray for the ability to serve people according to their need. Man, they see that power, they're going to go, huh, something's different with this guy, with this girl. So pray up. Number two, pray in. So while you're engaged in that conversation, or while you're with the people that you're with, while you're watching that what fill-in-the-blank game, Wizards, whatever, okay, whatever game is going to be, whatever. While you're watching that game, Lord, just help me to love this person. Help me to listen to their heart, even while we're watching this game. Help me to be a, you know, a witness to you in how I celebrate touchdowns. You know, there's this pastor I like to listen to. He's out in Seattle, and he always prayed. Pastor of the big church. And now I've never met him, but I just listened to some of his preaching. And he will pray for the Seahawks. For like 30 seconds, he'll go on and on, you know. And I noticed on his Instagram, he got to go to the Super Bowl last year. That was a bummer. The Lord didn't answer those prayers. But anyway, while you're in it, you know, hopefully he was praying, Lord, when we lose, help me to be a good testimony. Help me to be a good witness for you. So ask God for power. Ask for discernment and wisdom, especially to be a good listener. Maybe it's just me, but maybe someone else needs to pray for that too. So pray up, right, as you're going into it. Pray in. When you're in the conversations, ask God to give you power. I need that. That's been a good discipline for me. And it helps me to hold back a little bit more, to be a little more patient, to wait till the person has finished talking before I dive in, right? And then finally, pray out. Pray as you walk away from meeting with people. That's fresh on your mind, right? It's fresh on your heart. Pray for the person. Pray for the people. Ask for opportunities to follow up. Pray for, and maybe, you know, you have a regular discipline of, hey, as we get, what can I be praying for you about? Ask your name. People that don't go to church, man, they love that. There's a lot of people, actually, we were at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and what I like to do is I'll just say to the server, hey, we're going to pray for our meal. I mean, this is not weird. This is not weird. It's not all, this isn't like, hey, our food is hot. It's hot in hell. You know, it's not that kind of thing. So I'll say, hey, maybe if I'm with my wife or out meeting somebody for lunch, hey, we're gonna pray over our meal. Can we pray for you? Like, is there something we can pray for you about? And what I like to do is be a creature of habit. So I like to go to the same places. So I go to the Panera Bread in Germantown. And I mean, I got my table. When I walk in there and I see somebody at my table, it's like personal. I'm like, dang, that person's at my table. You know, of course, they didn't know that, you know. But I've gotten to know the servers in there. And they know, hey, this is Pastor Ed, you know. And now I get to know the same people in there at the same kind of times, right? And so you start to ask people, hey, how can I pray for you? And then next time you see him, hey, I was praying, your mom had the surgery or whatever, how's that go? Oh man, this person really cares about me. What's that? That's called being a witness, right? Being a witness. So ask God for more opportunities to love them, to listen to them as you're leaving, right? Pray out. Pray for opportunities to serve them. So a couple weeks ago, I had three stories here. I'm just going to tell you one of them. So three stories. A couple weeks ago, I'm at Panera Bread, and I met someone at this new Panera Bread by the Wegmans, right, down over here. And there's a little spot in there that's kind of nice. When you first walk in, it's all the way kind of to the corner of the glass there, two little nice chairs sitting right there, right? So I was in there. That's my new spot, right? That's my new spot. And so I'm sitting in my spot, and so I had a phone call to make. And I was calling a pastor, and his name was Joshua. And actually, another ex-NFL guy, pretty neat story. That's another story for another day. Anyway, I'm talking to him. This, how shall I say it? This woman who's maybe in her 50s, Hispanic woman in her 50s, sits down next to me while I'm on the phone. And she obviously hears my conversation, okay? So I'm talking, and several times in the conversation, I say Pastor Josh or Pastor Joshua. And I'm praying before, Lord, you know, here I am, right? I'm praying up before I go in. And so I hang up, and she kind of leans over to me right away, and she says to me, strong accent, and she says, was that Pastor Josh Harris? So Pastor Josh Harris, he's Covenant Life, you know, big guy, big time, you know, big church, whatever. And I kind of chuckled, you know. I said, well, no, I know of him, you know, I know him. This was actually different Pastor Josh. And that stirs this conversation. And she begins to tell me how she's looking for a place to worship. And her husband's not a Christian, and this is causing tension. And she's been going to this service where they have a service in Spanish. Oh, it's at Covenant Life, right? So she's going to the Spanish service at night, but it's kind of out of her way, and it really irritates her husband. And, you know, that's not a good thing. Like, you're in love with Jesus. You don't want to irritate your family. Of course, there's some aspects of that you can't control, but, you know, you don't have to go to that church, that service, that time, right? And so the Lord drops me in, right? What kind of church are we planting? Intentionally multi-ethnic church. One of our pastors is my brother-in-law from Brazil. And so he doesn't speak Spanish, but he speaks Portuguese, and he loves some Hispanic folks. You know, he can work it out. He can work it out. And so we start talking, and I said, oh, well, I mean, I'm not trying to recruit this lady away from anything. You know, I just say, hey, well, you know, we're starting this new thing, and it's, you know, we'd be happy to have you and minister to you and, you know, whatever. And she was real interested, I gave her, you know, one of my cards. And God can, that's not because it was Pastor Ed. That's not because it was Reverend Dr. Eddie, you know? No, it was just simple. I just prayed a prayer. I just made myself available. She just overheard my conversation. I didn't say anything. There wasn't any special magic, you know, evangelist dust there or whatever. And who knows? That's just one example. I could go on and on, lots of examples. As we close, I want you to imagine some things with me. All right? I just want you to turn your wildest imagination up and on right now for a minute. You know, we settle too often. We settle for the way things are. We settle for, well, you know, this and this happened, and aren't we just, you know, whatever. You know, I want you to just put that away for a second and just dream with me for a minute. Just imagine the difference in your life, just in your life, if you prayed throughout the day as you go in and out of conversations, in and out of meetings, in and out of classrooms, in and out of interactions with people this week. Just in one week, just imagine the difference that that could make. Imagine what would happen if the whole church, if everyone in here began doing this simple rhythm. Praying for open doors and just starting to engage people in spiritual conversations on a regular basis. I am not assuming that you're not, okay? I don't know you that well. So I'm not assuming that you're not. I'm just saying, just positively, imagine what can happen. Imagine the people who will feel and see and hear the power of Jesus because of you. Because you just start to have some up in and out rhythm of prayer for the and now you start to see these doors that God's opening and experiencing God's power. And hey, it's a little scary. I'm gonna admit, you might walk into a door and not know what to say. What do you do? Oh man, well, you can absolutely pray while you're in it. But I ain't even got to pray for that. I say, I don't know. Let me go back and pray about it. Let me go talk to Pastor Don. He might have an answer. You know? Hey, I do not know. Or some controversial issue. So a couple weeks ago, actually it was a couple months ago, a friend of mine, okay, yeah, this is another story. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I think it's important. A couple months ago, there was a guy who actually was, back in the day he was, he did bad things, all right? He did bad things. And he sold certain things to certain people. And he was a good friend of mine, actually. And for a number of years, and I lost touch. When I moved down to Georgia, I lost touch with that crew that was up here. And I had not seen him in 19 years. Well, through Facebook, I reconnected. And this is a wild dude, all right? Now, you know, I dress up all right these days. You know, you wouldn't know the kind of person that I was. But I used to have long hair and earrings and tattoo. And, you know, I rolled with a different kind of crew and whatever. Now, as my worldview is starting to change now, I like to go back and roll with that crew now. I mean, I feel like these are some friends. They don't know another pastor. Like, if I can be their friend, like Jesus was a friend of sinners, all right? So anyway, so this guy tragically passed away. Now, I had been interacting him with a little bit over Facebook for the last couple of years, y'all. Years. He did not live far. He was down in Wheaton. He worked at a tattoo piercing. He was a piercing artist, okay? And quite a well-known one between D.C. and Baltimore. And I had been meaning to go down and see him, just meaning to. And I just never made it. So anyway, he passed away. Well, another friend, it's another story for another day. Maybe next time I come, I'll tell this story. But I reconnected with this guy I didn't see in 18 years. And the three of us had hung out. And the last time I saw this guy, we were in rough shape. Anyway, I connected with him about a year ago, started hanging out. He tells me about how Mike had passed away. So they had this memorial, of course, at a bar, right? You know, ain't gonna do it in a church. You know, ain't no church folks in this crowd. So up in Frederick, right? Up in Frederick. And so there's this, and so all these people I haven't seen in 20 years. Most of them I hadn't seen in 20 years. It was crazy. So I'm sitting at this table, you know, everybody's just hanging out, right? Music playing, having drinks, whatever. Now, I don't know if Pastor Don goes into those kind of things, but I'm sorry. Like, I apologize ahead of time if this don't sound right, but I just figured, you know, this is the kind of thing that Jesus did, and I have a burden for these people. So I'm sitting at this table, and this dude walks in with a girl who I did some stuff with. Not anything. Well, it was inappropriate. Not like sexual kind of things, okay? But back in the day, and I hadn't seen her, and she walks in, and this dude's like a bodybuilder, like, jacked, huge guy, you know, gigantic. And I noted, I recognized him. It's another story, man, all these stories weave together. But anyway, there's a friend of mine who owns the Anytime Fitness in Gaithersburg. And we played football right here. He won a state championship in 1993. Unfortunately, I moved to Georgia, so I missed that ring. But anyway, he owns the Anytime Fitness up there. And he's like 6'4", jacked up too. And I remember seeing pictures of this guy with him. So I recognized him, but never met him. As it turns out, and I was praying, man, I had half the world praying for me going into this like memorial thing because I knew it would be a little bit dark. Yeah. And so anyway, they walk over, they sit right next to me. The first question this guy asked me, I saw this girl pointing to me from a distance, pointing to me, and she must have said something about, hey, there's Eddie. She would have said Eddie. And whatever we did in the past, and he's a pastor now. So they come over, and he sits right next to me, and they're both Middle Eastern. I don't know what country they're from. I mean, this dude's jacked up, right? And so his first question to me is, what do you think about Muslims? Like, that's his first question, you know? And my prayer activator gets kicked on high, and I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm trying to make it out of this place alive. You know, I got no idea. I don't know if he's Muslim, Christian. I don't know. All I know is he looks like he probably could have come from a place where his family was Muslim, for sure, right? And man, I don't want to offend this dude. You know, I don't know what he's been doing. I don't know if he's sober or what, coming after me. I have no idea. And I just start talking about Jesus. You know, that's all I knew. I said, well, I love Muslims. I love you, man. You know? Can I buy you a drink? You know? And we just start talking. And God opened up a really sweet door there. That was kind of a long story. But just imagine if you'll just be willing to pray into the interactions that you have this week. Some of them you know they're going to happen. Some of them you don't know and you can't control it. This is not about sharing information about Jesus. It's about living differently. Taking a little extra time to listen to the Spirit of God and listen to people and love our neighbors well. That's what we're talking about. As we close, I want you to think of someone you know who, as far as you know, is living far from God. Think about that person. Begin praying. Who is that person? Someone you're likely to see this week. And if you're able, I want you to write that person's name down. If you're able to do it even right now or as you leave here, pray for Michael, whoever, you know, my neighbor Larry, the Tat family next door, you know, this family, a coworker, a friend, a family member, someone you know you're going to see. Write their name down. Pray for their name somewhere where you will remember it. Pray for them every day. Ask God to open a door to talk to them about Jesus. And when he does, pray up, in, and out. Let me close us in prayer. And I just imagine that God is going to do great things, that when I come back next month, we can talk a little bit about the doors that God opened. And sometimes you're going to stumble over the threshold and fall out. And I have too. And God opens that door and you knew it and you just zipped it up. And I've done that too. What do? Get right on back up. Share with the church family. Hey, y'all, God opened a door last week. I stumbled right over the threshold. I fell into the wall, but pray again because I think God's going to open that door again. And when he opens that door again, get right back into it. Amen. And pray up, in, and out. Let me pray for us together. Heavenly Father, you demonstrate your love in that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a God of love and compassion and justice and mercy. Your will is to fill every one of us with the power of Jesus' resurrection to be your witnesses in our world. Oh Lord, help us to keep in step with your Spirit, to remain in you tomorrow on Monday morning, just as we are with you right now and throughout the week. Lead us to people who are in need this week, Lord. People who are open and ready to encounter your love. Fill us with that love, that we might represent you well, Lord. Send each one of us out, overflowing with your loving power. Give us courage to put it into action, Lord. Through the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you.